Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are found in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. These are the words of our gospel lesson, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us with the truth. Set us apart for yourself with the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeeming Christ, the weather has sure changed. And with it, I think many people have turned their thoughts to the biggest of American sports, to football. Now, I know looking out at you today that there are some of you who are of the opinion that the Green Bay Packers are the only team. Most of you have a passing knowledge of the rules. Many of you watch football on TV on Sunday afternoons. So let me ask you this question to start our thought process here. How many home runs can a team score in a game of football?
None.
Thank you. It's an absurd question, isn't it? Home runs are for baseball, not for football. There's no such thing as a home run in football. So the question's just downright silly. But as you heard, there's an actual answer to this question. The answer is zero, a big goose egg. You can score zero home runs in a game of football. In the gospel lesson for today, a man asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" At first, this seems like a reasonable question, but it turns out that this is the same kind of silly question. This morning, we'll explore the scriptural theme, hard work cannot earn God's grace. The reason that hard work cannot earn God's grace is that grace is love that is undeserved. You can't earn what is not deserved, otherwise it wouldn't be undeserved anymore. Excuse me. How much does hard work contribute toward earning God's grace? Well, again, the answer is zero. It doesn't. So as we think about why hard work cannot earn God's grace, we should see three things in this conversation between Jesus and this wealthy man. First, we should see that the benefits of hard work do not include grace. And secondly, we should see that Christ alone has salvation for you. And finally, we should hear that hear the Lord's loving command, do not walk away from Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. This man was a hard worker. Clearly, he had many possessions, and the implication of that is that he had rightly earned them with his hard work. And Jesus looked at him, it says, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all you have that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The Lord gave hard work to Adam as part of the curse for sin, but God also blessed and continues to bless hard work. We're to work hard and to earn material things through our hard work, but all this must be understood in the right way. Our lives are not about material things. So God has made every material thing to become worthless with the passage of time. And he's told us over and over again in the scriptures to not focus on those things. They're but tools to be used while we're here. But this man had worked hard, and he missed the bigger picture. The context here is spiritual, not material. This man had worked hard even at keeping the commandments. It seems like he must have understood to some extent, excuse me, the spirit of the law. For example, he knew that the commandment to not commit adultery also extended to not lusting, and that the command to not murder also extended to not hating, and so on. He must have been quite an exceptional man, and yet Jesus points out to him the way that he had failed to be perfect in his righteousness. Jesus did this out of love. This hardworking man sought to score a home run playing football. God gave us the law not so that we would actually accomplish it, because we can't. Even the very best among us falls short. In this case, Jesus looked into the man's heart and found that he had a sinful attachment to the fruits of his labors, especially to his possessions. Think about what the Apostle Paul says. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And think about what Jesus said. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist recognized the big picture. He recognized and paid attention to spiritual things right from the moment he was born. And yet even he had to say that he was not worthy to stoop down and untie the sandals of the Savior. John knew that he was not worthy to be in the presence of God because of his sin. He knew that he needed God to give him grace, undeserved love. He knew that the one who was truly good was Jesus and not himself. John knew he was a sinner and that he could not accomplish the law and that hard work could not earn God's grace. And more importantly, John knew that Christ alone had salvation for him, because John knew by faith who Jesus was and who he ever is, God, our Savior. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. They were amazed because Jesus was saying that hard work is not the ticket for entering heaven. These people all grew up in a Jewish society surrounded by the Jewish religion that was constantly telling them that in order to get to heaven, they had to work hard spiritually. They had to follow the commandments. And they even had to set up laws so that they could keep themselves from even coming close to breaking the commandments. But despite all of those laws that they made up, they still broke the commandments over and over again. Judaism was not the religion of the Old Testament. It's a common misconception. And this led to much confusion. This wealthy man had learned from childhood that he had to earn God's favor, God's grace. But it doesn't matter how brilliant the play is, you can't score a home run on the football field. And no matter how careful you are to observe the law, you can't keep it perfectly, try as you might. What he needed, what you and I need, is not more rules, not more regulations, not clearer law. What we need is salvation by grace through faith. And Christ alone has it for you. Jesus alone did not need to earn God's favor. He already had it as the only begotten Son of God. He's equal with the Father and the Spirit, one in the Godhead from all eternity. But he did need to earn God's favor for you. And that's what he did, what only he could do for you. Jesus came down from heaven into this rotten decay of our world so that he could do three things. First of all, he had to live according to every law, every rule, every statute. He had to do that perfectly, as only the Son of God could. And secondly, he had to give his life as a sacrifice for us and for the whole world. And he did that on the cross. The lifeless body of the Son of Man was taken down and placed in the guarded tomb. And thirdly, he had to rise again from the dead. The stone which covered the mouth of the tomb was rolled away already to reveal that he had departed, alive forever. He did all this just as he said he would. He didn't miss anything. He did all this to win once and for all the forgiveness for all sin, to restore our relationship with God, to give eternal life to us who were dying. He did it. He won God's love for you, even though you and I did nothing to earn it, and we never could. And he did not leave it hanging out there in the dark for us to grasp at blindly, because he knew that we would have no desire in the first place for what he had done for us. No, he brought the grace of God to us. In the waters of baptism, he approached you and washed away your sins with water and the word. and brought you into God's family and put his name on you. And through his gospel message preached, he put faith into your hearts and strengthens it every time we hear it again. And he even gave his own body and blood to guarantee that his work counts forever. God's grace is yours in these means, in these simple things that God has provided to you. Back to our text. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Did you hear what Jesus said there? It is not possible for you or me to win God's grace, no matter how hard we might work for it or work at it. In fact, even to attempt such a thing is a big misunderstanding about what love is in the first place. But all things are possible with God, he says. God the Son did the impossible. He did what we could not do. He paid for our sins. He won God's grace for us. And he's delivered that grace to you and me in word and sacraments. Only do not walk away from Jesus, as did the rich man. Do not walk away in unbelief, doubting that Jesus ever existed, like the Bible says, or paying no attention to what the scripture says about him paying for our sins, or thinking to yourself that he couldn't have actually died and rose again like the Bible says. And do not walk away from the means that he has chosen to provide his grace to you. God wants you to have his grace and abundantly. But if you were to spend all your time looking for God's love where God hasn't promised that it will be, you'd be walking away from Jesus and what he's promised. You'd be walking away from God's love. And do not walk away from Jesus believing that your sins are just too great for him to overlook. Jesus never overlooked your sin or mine. He never ignored it. But he took all of it upon himself, upon his own shoulders, his righteous shoulders, and carried it into death for us, so that now in him, the scriptures say we are the righteousness of God, covered in Jesus' righteousness. In conclusion, remember that you cannot score a place in heaven by your own hard work. Remember that Jesus has done this for you. Believe it. Listen to what he says. Love him. Praise him for his wonderful goodness toward you. Look forward to heaven. And for that reason, live out your life accordingly. Reflect his love for the undeserving. Reflect his grace toward the undeserving. Don't pass or run the ball for a home run. You can't do it. Instead, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Nothing is impossible with God, and he has won your salvation. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.